Our journey through Advent brings us to this third Sunday, our Advent wreath, which started with that single candle, a real claim of hope that that one flame could pierce through the darkness, has now grown to three. The light increases. God is coming. And as we do each year on this third Sunday of Advent, we hear the word rejoice. We hear it throughout our lessons. We hear language about gladness, about singing with joy. And in our first lesson from the prophet Isaiah, we have that wonderfully beautiful image of a creation renewed, reborn. We hear of the wilderness and the dry land blossoming abundantly. We hear of the fulfillment of God's promises to a people who have been taken away to exile. They will return. The land will be restored. In fact, they will come along a road which is known as the Holy Way. It goes through the wilderness. It's flat. It's straight. And around the road, that wilderness has come to life, blossoming, growing abundantly. Isaiah promises that vision of sorrow and sighing replaced with joy and gladness, that those who are fearful will be made strong. They will live no longer by fear. The blind, the deaf, the lame, the speechless are all healed. Those are signs of the Messiah, the one who comes in the name of God to bring justice, brings healing to those who need. So the people, the entire creation, is healed, is restored. And the people come to Zion with singing, back to their homeland, for that fulfillment of God's promises. And so Isaiah says, the people rejoice in the glory of God. Advent is that season when we hear again those old, ancient promises, those promises made by God to God's people. Promises not yet fully fulfilled. And so in Advent, we also look ahead to that future, to that time when those promises will be fulfilled, when history itself will be completed, when that vision of Isaiah will fully be reality. But in the meantime, we live in this in-between time, somewhere between the promises and the fulfillment. And we're called in this in-between time to be a people who live rooted in joy. Now, joy is a word that, I don't know about you, but I hear a lot right now in the world around us. As the world is enmeshed in the celebration of Christmas, there's much talk of joy, and we hear words like merry, or having good cheer, being joyful in this season. But I think there's something different about what Isaiah, what those ancient prophecies call us to do, how to live. There's something different with that kind of joy from the joy that we hear in our secular Christmas season. For often that joy is about emotions, about feelings. It's about something that we may have or we may not have. There can even be some pressure to get into the Christmas spirit, to have our celebrations of that feast go just right, to have certain emotions stirred by them. But that means if we're not in the spirit, or if we're burdened by any kind of sorrow or sadness or challenge, it can be a difficult time. The joy that we as followers of Jesus are called to, I think, is something deeper and more profound, something that is more than a feeling and emotion. And I think our clue is offered in John the Baptist. Now, you may not immediately think John the Baptist and think joy. Just last week we heard him saying, "You brood of vipers." Doesn't sound very joyful. But I think John knows something that we would benefit to explore. Now, always on the second and third Sundays of Advent, we hear about John the Baptist, that great prophet who comes preparing the way of the Messiah. But we also hear about John at the beginning of Luke's Gospel, how at his conception, the angel comes to his father Zechariah and says, "Your wife Elizabeth, who is old and was thought unable to have children, is pregnant." We hear about John in the womb of his mother Elizabeth leaping for joy when Mary comes to visit her, Mary who is pregnant with Jesus. Even before he's born, John understands his call as the one preparing for the way of Jesus and knows joy in the coming of the Messiah, even before birth. And then John, rooted in that promise, that hope, that call of God, goes into the wilderness and preaches, as we heard last week, preaches repentance, and great crowds flock to see him. And he is the one to whom Jesus comes and is baptized by John in the River Jordan. And John witnesses the Holy Spirit descending upon him as a dove. The other side of John is that fierce and truthful preaching, which brings him up against the injustices of his age, especially against political and religious leaders, and it gets him arrested and eventually killed. And that brings us to today's gospel, where John is in prison after being arrested, and he sends his disciples to ask Jesus a question. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Now, we don't know exactly why John is asking this question, but it might be because Jesus has not exactly been acting as John expected. This Messiah, this one that he said is Jesus, may not be doing the things that John expects the Messiah to do. For there is John imprisoned by those powers of this age that he preached against, the very powers that the Messiah is supposed to overthrow. So John is wondering, who is Jesus? Can he be the Messiah, even though he's not acting as is expected? Now Jesus, as he often does not answer John's question directly. But he says this, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. Those are the same words that we heard in our first lesson from Isaiah. Those are the signs of the messianic age when the Messiah of God comes bringing healing and restoration. So Jesus doesn't answer the question but says, what do you see? I think that's intentional. I think Jesus is saying to John and to you and me, it's up to you to decide. Is Jesus the one hoped for? Is Jesus that Messiah? And so Jesus is calling us to be attentive, to watch, to listen, to see what God is doing in your life and mine, doing in the world around us, to listen to people who tell us their stories, tell us their experiences of where God is at work. And we're called to be a people who expect God to act, that God will be present in our lives, and so we're called to watch, to be attentive, and then to share what we see. And so that promise of Advent is that God will indeed redeem all of creation, that it will come to pass, all will be healed and restored. But it hasn't happened fully yet, and it's not happening all at once. But we can see it in the immediacy of each of our lives, in the lives of each person, and in their experiences. For we assert that in the incarnation, God puts on human flesh in Jesus, coming among us, entering into the fullness of human life, knowing all that we know about what it is to be human, the joys as well as the tribulations. And so Jesus comes to us even in our places of wilderness, or the places where we feel imprisoned, the places where we are fearful, anxious, where we may be stuck, and brings those promises of God, brings meaning for our suffering, brings comfort for our troubled spirits. And so the joy we're called to live this season and the whole of our lives is more than an emotion, more than something we have or we don't have. It's a reality strong enough to defeat fear and death itself. It is a joy that calls us to give up our illusions, even our expectations of God, and instead to see who God is, to look for where God is acting. It's a joy that calls us to expect that God is at work in our lives, that God is at work in the world around us. It's a God that promises to come to us bringing healing, restoration, and wholeness. Doesn't mean that challenging times and events won't happen, but it means that God is there in the midst of them to strengthen us, to be present to us, and to deliver us. And so the joy that we are called to live is ultimately brought to its completion in the fulfillment of God's kingdom, in that time where we come to live with God for eternity, to dwell in God's presence, to see God face to face. And so the Advent call offered us is that call to expect God to be at work, even in the ordinariness of daily life, to find God entering into our lives, offering us the strength of a hope stronger than death, the promises of old that God made to God's people, to trust they will indeed come to pass, that God will redeem all of creation. And so this is a deep, authentic joy that transforms us, that casts out all fear and anxiety, that does away with all sorrow and sighing. So Jesus asks the crowd, "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? What did you expect to see?" I think Jesus is asking us that question this day. What do you expect to see? If Jesus said to you, "Go and tell what you hear and see," what would you say? How would you describe the way Jesus is acting in your life? What do you see? What do you experience? What would you tell others? May we go forth, not just in this Advent, but always, as a people who see God at work and who share that with others, so that they too might come to know the joy on which we stake our lives, both in this age and the age to come. Amen.
Amen.